Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey guys, welcome back to Soul Sisters. I'm Jessie Katz, and I am so glad that we have this show right now because I only find it more and more important to have a platform where women in our industry can speak honestly with each other and to our audience about what it means to be a woman in this industry and any industry, because most, if not all, of the stories we hear on the show could apply to anywhere. And what a time to be a woman in the entertainment industry right now, with all the stories of sexual abuse and harassment that are coming out following this Harvey Weinstein scandal, which is, of course, still unfolding as we record this. We were so lucky that while Dara and I have been personally grappling with our own experiences and feelings about all of this, that we had back on the show a woman whose very presence feels like a blanket for the soul, and that is Tori Amos. Tori is the first repeat guest we've ever had on the show. She asked to come back to talk about her amazing new album, Native Invader, which we did, but she also talked to us about the strange moment that we're finding ourselves in, where every time you look at the internet right now, you read a new horrifying story by a woman who was abused or harassed. And it's both so depressing and so empowering. And Tori helped us understand what to do with both of those feelings, as we knew that she would. When she walked in here and sat down, I had to start the show by just telling her what a hard time I was having. And I knew that she would be able to help us make sense of this moment and these feelings. So we'll get to that conversation in just a second. I just want to remind everyone listening to please subscribe to the Soul Sisters channel on iTunes if you haven't already. You'll find more inspiring, badass women like Tori sitting down with me and Dara to share stories about what it means to be a strong woman on the planet. And you know, you can't have too much of that. So please make sure you're subscribing so you can keep up with all the episodes we post each week. And also don't forget, you can now watch all of these episodes on Billboard's YouTube channel. We film each episode as well as record the audio, so that if you'd like to see the guest in studio with us, you can just go over to YouTube on Billboard's channel and watch it there every week. So, okay, I think that's it, guys. Without further ado, here is Tori Amos back and better than ever on Soul Sisters. I have to stop wearing collared shirts on this show because invariably my hair does something weird. That's fine. It's not about me. It's about Tori Amos, who's back on Soul Sisters for the second time. Woo! Our first repeat guest ever.
Yay!
Yes. So I'm so excited. And I have to say, your episode is still the most popular episode of the show that we've ever had.
Oh, God.
So it's very we couldn't have designed it better than to have you be our first repeat.
Well, so, thank you so much for having me. And I'm thrilled being here. I love a library.
Right?
So love it. The ambiance.
Uh-huh.
It's almost a year later.
It is almost exactly.
Last year, we weren't in this room.
We're in a different room.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, we've upgraded to the closet.
Yes. but a closet with books.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. The best kind. Yeah, you were here last September. So it was a couple months before the election, which I'd like to get into in a moment. But first, I want to seek some spiritual comfort from you about something, because I feel like I can get that from you. And it's a really hard week this week for a lot of us who are constantly reading about everything that's in the news right now. But I'm personally having a really hard time reading all of these Me Too stories about women who have experienced sexual harassment and abuse. And it's a beautiful moment, I feel like, because we're all stepping up and either holding each other or telling our own stories or, you know, whatever we feel like is right now. But it's hard. And I'm feeling very like today, I don't know why, but today it like fully hit me and I feel like I've completely internalized it now. And so I'm like a little bit on edge today, I have to admit, but it felt really great knowing that you were coming in and you were going to be the person that we spoke to, because you are an artist who has provided comfort and insight and like this beautiful kind of solace to people for so long that I just would like to check in with you for a second to know how you're feeling about things.
Well, okay. Hands.
Yes.
Grieving.
Yeah.
Grieving is something that has to happen
mm-hmm.
because there has been a culture of fear and dodging bullets in every field.
Yeah.
So as we're reading these stories and we know our own stories, I turned pro at 13 and I was having to combat this at 15. I didn't combat it at 13 in the bars because my parents were sitting there and they were, you know, they were there at all times. But then when I moved into the hotel culture in Washington, D.C., just a few blocks from the White House, a couple blocks from the White House, the requirement was that, no, if I wanted the job, I could not have my parents sitting there. So they agreed to allow me to do that. So I was exposed to very powerful men in Washington. And it was just, you had to learn how to deal with this at such a young age.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't have some of the guidance from the gay men who taught me how to survive. So going back to that, the thing that we need to realize is it's going to be a time of grieving, of anger, mm-hmm. of outpouring.
Mm-hmm.
And there are going to be tough days where you do feel really fragile and that you don't, this moment, you might not feel like you want to fight and make the change that we have to make. Because this is a moment now.
Yeah.
There's no going back, ladies and guys.
Yeah.
And I believe there are a lot of men that do stand with us,
mm-hmm.
Shoulder to shoulder. But we cannot allow this now.
Right.
To just, in a year from now, we all spoke and we shared the story,
mm-hmm.
and then back to business as usual.
Right.
No, the boys club, this guys, no, you should want to make the change now. There's mm-hmm. so many writers that are women. There's so many directors that are women. There's so many songwriters and composers that are women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a boys club for too long.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in warrior mode, sisters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am here.
Yes.
That's how I feel too. And someone wrote this amazing op-ed in the Times today, and the headline said, yes, this is a witch hunt. I'm a witch, and I'm hunting you, you know, to kind of like turn that phrase around.
Yeah, great.
Like, hell yeah. But like, but we're the ones who are hunting this time, yes. And you should be afraid, you know. And I love that. But I think I also started maybe like fearing a little retribution or like, you know, these moments never come without pushback. And so now, like, I feel both emboldened and scared. I imagine, okay, what if we all stand up now and say no more? But then what comes right after that?
That's a really good question.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good question. And that's why Eyes Wide Open.
Right. Right. Yeah. And just supporting each other through right. it.
Yes. Yeah. And holding a space for everyone to come forward and say, I was complicit.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling really terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there has to be a place where we all hold a space so that the healing can happen. Mm-hmm. And healing is so important, but we're not there yet. We're not. The scab has just been being ripped off, and the blood is being flowing out with the stories. Mm-hmm. It's you know, there's something so sacred about the blood, and yet the stories have been stored inside us, mm-hmm. and we've buried them down for years and years and years.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting how connected everything is. The sort of tragedy that happened just in last November, and how the various ways of global and personal and you know, this sexual abuses coming to the fore are all connected, and it feels like the moment is just not clean of one. It's just all so many things at
many
once.
Many things.
So many layers that are just interwoven, and I think that's a big part of what makes your new record so powerful, is how you weave. It's not just one of these things that we're fighting against and struggling with all the time, but it's all of these things combined, and that we need to take from that and make that protest and hope.
Yes, and that we're communicating now. It took many years, but finally the alignment was there, and those brave actors stepped forward, mm-hmm. the ladies, and it lined up so that the tsunami is occurring.
Right.
And yet at the same time, there are people who are getting away with their obnoxious behavior and inappropriate behavior. Mm-hmm. And so there is, when you look at it that way, I can see why there's sadness sometimes and being scared that there are very powerful people that are getting away with it. Mm-hmm. And we'll get away with it because that's how life works.
Sure. When you were on this show last year, you were writing this new album. Mm. And the main thing that you revealed to us about it was that you were prepared for the album to change course depending on the outcome of the presidential election. Mm. And we all felt very optimistic during that episode. And you said you felt like the country was ready for a Madam President. Mm. But you were prepared for things to go the either way. You acknowledged that it could happen, probably more than Dara and I were ready to acknowledge. And then it happened. So we would love to know how it did change your writing of the album.
Well, remember, did we talk about I had taken that trip in down south?
No.
You hadn't taken it yet, I don't
know. Yeah.
In September?
When did I see? September?
I think it was September last year.
Was it 2016?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or maybe you had, but we didn't discuss it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'd taken it in July.
Okay.
And I'd gone down into the deep south. Mm-hmm. And so I was exposed to many bumper stickers on many different vehicles. Mm-hmm. And there was a side to me that was saying, there are more bumper stickers that aren't for Madam President. Mm-hmm. Than I might have expected. So there was that trepidation in my mind, mm-hmm. realizing that there are people that whatever is being said, whatever he is saying, mm-hmm. it isn't changing their position. So because they still have that bumper sticker on their car.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I guess, when November 9th occurred, I was in Florida, and I had just taken a flight with a woman, mm-hmm. who had such vile things to say about a potential Madam President. Mm. Such vile things. Mm-hmm. And she was working she was a working woman, and I was just taken aback with the vitriol. Mm-hmm. And so that started to scare me. That was the day of the election. Mm. That was the, wow. I flew from California to Florida. Uh-huh. And so to set the stage, mm-hmm. that's where I was starting to get really panicky and nervous because even though it had been exposed, the Hollywood Access tape that had been exposed. Yeah. And yet I was thinking, my goodness gracious, even though this has come out in public and I'm still hearing vitriol from a working woman who is a single working woman that is around my age.
Right.
And I thought, well, there might be a surprise coming. That hasn't dissuaded her?
Right. Like, what else would it take?
And I think, so after the election, what then began swirling around was I began hearing stories of friendships, families, relationships falling apart in all kinds of ways. Because if you can support a person who says these things about me, then I don't know. What do you think about me?
Right.
And women.
I found ways to justify a lot of reasons that people vote for a party that I don't support. But this feels different to me.
Yeah.
Like someone who says, oh, I vote because of taxes. Like, okay, fine. Like, agree to disagree. But that you would hold those things to be more important than someone who is racist or homophobic or misogynist or admits to sexual abuse, then that's a value thing for me, you know? Like, that's what I have trouble. This is the first time where I'm like, I don't know how to justify this anymore.
Do you try to, when you speak to people in that way, do you try to get from them why, or do you just sort of listen, say your piece, and move on, or do you try to?
I put my songwriting hat on because in that moment, I listened to her and I listened and I was kind of recording it in my mind because that's the only way that you get a sense. If you're a hunter for frequency and sound and story, you have to see the narrative in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be the one you thought you were going to be flying across the country with that day.
Right, yeah.
And then I'm starting to crawl into the, what is it, the... Spielberg's Big Friendly Giant, the BFG.
Yeah.
The BFG was on, and I couldn't get in. I couldn't dive into that movie fast enough because she was slinging back some drinks, and I'm thinking, and not stopping.
Right.
And I'm thinking, my goodness, I'm being held hostage.
Oh, yeah. God. Do you often talk to people on airplanes?
No, I don't talk to. I go into my world.
Yeah.
But it was election day, and people.
There was a sense of solidarity. We're all in this together.
And she had no idea who I was, what I did. She just, so, therefore, she was just talking to me.
Right.
Wow.
And I guess the reason I'm bringing this up is because it was a warning. It was trying to show me, I think, that Tori, you need to have a better gauge of what's going on. Because when I'm hanging out with musicians, that's a very different world.
Right.
You know, it's
we're in a bubble.
A different world. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can be very much in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
After the election, though, over the next several weeks, though, this was the time everything started to change because it was the emotional fallout that people were experiencing in their personal lives. And this is where I began to see the divisions are deep within families, within office, not just politics, but office community.
Right. Wow. Yeah, we were debating before you came in if the story is that DT, we'll call him, ruined your album or made it better.
Well,
you know, if you ruined the album you were planning to make, but maybe, I mean, first of all, we've heard the album, so we know
ruined,
it's not
but
ruined.
But changed it in a way that you wouldn't have chosen or...
But if maybe artistically it was a blessing and well, it turned into this amazing thing because of it.
Well, I don't know if I'd use the word blessing. I'd say to you ladies is this. As a writer, you respond to what's in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And the Master Showman did win the election. And so though what I was fascinated though about, because that is about a movement. And if he decided to beam himself up to Mars and be a master showman there.
You still
are going to have to deal, though, with some of the policies that are being driven.
Right.
And this is where...
He's a symptom. He's not the
problem. It's ongoing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so, yes, I understand the Hollywood Access tape and his thoughts about women and his... not just inappropriate, but allegedly women coming forward mm-hmm. saying he crossed the line with them, mm-hmm. that, you know, that's still very much there. And so, of course, all these things, along with, I call them the Benjamins, were reaching out to me, Lady Benjamins, too, in the science community. People that work within different think tanks that were saying, do you understand? Please don't get distracted, because we know you're writing this record right now. So please don't get distracted by he who can't be named, mm-hmm. because you must focus on what's getting passed through, how our world, America, is changing before our eyes,
mm-hmm.
and could be changed forever.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to understand it's being hijacked. So, of course, I didn't understand the ramifications of this.
Right.
And as they started explaining it to me from a scientific point of view and realizing that there's a purge on our scientific community,
yeah.
then it started to really wake me up when they started to point me into, do you understand what's happening in education? Do you mm-hmm. understand? I said, maybe not. Well, they don't want to just teach our children. They want to decide how our children think. Mm. Not how to teach them to think, mm-hmm. but how to think. Mm-hmm. And this is how Russia happens, or in East Germany. This is how it happens.
Mm-hmm. So it was until after the election that a fuller picture of what, of how fearful, you know, we really should be of all of the different ways that this is going to affect everything.
Yes, absolutely. Because we're being distracted.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We're not thinking right. about the freedoms that we're losing. We're not thinking about that, and you all in your job,
right.
and the attack on the press,
mm-hmm.
to make you all, to present you all as charlatans,
yeah. right? So then, how does that affect your songwriting when that sinks in?
I realize that democracy, what we call democracy, could be slipping away, and that of course there are those in the in Washington that want to align themselves closer to Putin, because we have American oligarchs
mm-hmm.
that want that.
Right.
That want a serf system.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want. And all of us who might be giving money to these think tanks, what we don't realize is they're not going to make you or me or people listening who work for a living an oligarch.
Right.
They're not doing that.
No.
There will be a few people who run everything. When I say a few, you know, hundreds.
Yeah. Relatively, very few. Yeah.
But there is a pecking order, and the system is getting created so that we won't have the masses who know how to ask the right questions, because they're not being educated
correct.
To ask the right questions.
Yeah.
They're being uneducated into suppression, but mm-hmm. not knowing that that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So how they're outsmarting what happened in the last 75 years in Europe is, instead of burning books, they're flooding us with information. Different tactic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're parading the words freedom. Freedom for whom?
Yeah.
Prosperity for whom?
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare for whom? Clean air, clean water for whom? And once the scientists, because they had to put it in Tory speak, I mean, you know,
Are these friends of yours that were reaching out?
Friends of friends of friends.
Okay.
Who knew that I might know a composer, a violinist or something, or a whatever, a ranger. Do you see, it's people who know. And why they chose me, maybe they chose many and just would see what would stick, but they were crying out in the darkness saying, can't you see the consequences? I wasn't thinking about the consequences.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't thinking about Pruitt being in EPA. We know he's in the back pocket of the oil barons, but I didn't think about what that could mean.
Mm-hmm.
Department Interior, what does that mean? Our resources.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So does that, in addition to perhaps make the songwriting come easier, does it give you a new kind of sense of purpose for an album?
Well, it was terrifying because once I began to see that this is so much more involved than I realized, and that things are happening while we're focused on other issues. So some shock news comes in from Washington, mm-hmm. or what's happening, and then we stop thinking of the bigger picture, and that the steamroll is rolling.
Yeah.
While we're looking,
while
the
we're
other
playing
way.
Whack-a-mole, which is what it feels like these days.
And that's why we have to all. With all the news that's coming out, mm-hmm. and the tragedy, mm-hmm. from the California fires to Puerto Rico to the sexual assaults in Hollywood, right. and all other industries, you know, it's across. It's not just in the entertainment complex.
Right, it's
industry.
Like in the ether. It's like in the air now,
right?
But we have to find a way to process all these. Tragic stories, mm-hmm. and find a way then to transmute. We have to go through the grieving, and you have to go through the tears, and you have to go through the shock. Mm-hmm. I guess it's the four stages of grief. And and then you realize, okay, but are we now going to do what happens almost every time, which is somehow we get a little bit distracted. Mm-hmm. And we've expressed it. We have emotionally talked about it globally. Mm-hmm. But then somehow Humpty Dumpty gets put back together again.
Right.
Somehow.
Yeah.
No. Mm. Now, I don't know how we achieve the no. Mm-hmm. No more. Mm-hmm. But I say no more. But everybody has to say no more, including the men in our industry. Mm-hmm. Now, part of the music industry, and I've been going on about this for years, this is a boys' club.
Right. Any industry, let's be honest.
Okay. So,
but we'll take music industry as an example.
Because I understand it.
Exactly.
The movie industry, that isn't my industry.
Right.
Yes, I've been a part of certain things, but mm-hmm. as a musician, as a writer. Mm-hmm. So therefore, in the music industry, of course, it is a boys' club, but you have to talk about, and there are some good people in that club. There are some people who want to, should I say, I don't want to use the word good, who want to be fair.
Yeah.
I think fair is a really important quality here. Uh-huh. But then there are others that do not want too many people to have too much success because that takes power from them.
Right.
And if you don't think this doesn't cross from the lawyers to the A&R to the producers, mm-hmm. to the publishers, mm-hmm. why would a music publisher want loads of singer-songwriters out there when they have songwriters on their roster? Mm-hmm. Why do you think forever, Tori, you need to write with so-and-so, you need to write with so-and-so, you need to write with so-and-so. I said, so I'm going to write with so-and-so so that they steal a song from another writer because they don't even realize that that's a Tom Petty song? No, thank you. I'll use my own writing from, you know.
Yeah.
So, but being that type of female in the music industry, you think you get termed difficult.
Right.
You know that Tori, she can be a bit difficult. Really difficult? No, I'm trying to be fair.
Right.
And also, you have to understand that it links with the award ceremonies. It links with all of this kind of negotiating.
Totally.
And musicians are on contract. You are on contract for 7 albums. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not on that anymore, with an option for 8.
Right.
And that means if you don't want to make an album for them anymore because they're saying, well, you need to work with so-and-so, then guess what? You're not allowed to work with anybody else because they'll hold you. They won't sell you. They don't have to sell you. That's why when I was saying sell me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But what you all have to understand is where is the power for the artist? And that goes for the men too.
Mm-hmm.
It's all held by the boys' club.
Right.
So until we address these servitude contracts, because I know a lot of artists, they are locked. They are locked down.
Yeah.
And then the only way to work with your label is to write with these other people. I have to tell you, after successive little earthquakes for Under the Pink, they were the whole idea was, okay, so Tori, you need to go work with this famous male producer. What? I need to do what? After I've just delivered this? And why don't you write with someone? What? Now, that's how, when people say, do you have, you know, do I have enemies in the music business? And why hasn't this come in for you, Tori? Why hasn't this worked out? Because I will not bend on that. Now, will I compromise? Not on principles.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'll collaborate with people and work with them. I love working with the team.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm trying to express to you all. It's very complicated.
Yeah.
And until the contract, see, I'm contract by contract now with the labels. No, so if it doesn't work, it's like, okay, best of luck.
Right.
See you later.
On to the next. We talked about this a little bit last time about how all of this is kind of changing because the gatekeepers aren't as necessary anymore. So it, more and more it is possible to make your own path and not sort of go the record label path. That doesn't mean you're going to make money or have an easy time.
That's correct.
But it's a different different set of challenges come with that.
Yeah, it's
it's more of an option now to sort of say I don't need to deal with any of these people.
But some of them are holding on with with by their fingernails. They're holding on to as much power as they can.
I just want to hone in for a second on that idea of being difficult, because this is such part of the crux of this problem and what we started this episode talking about.
The euphemisms.
Yeah, but like, were you always okay with being called difficult? Were you like, okay, fine? Because I feel like that's part of the challenge that, I mean, I've had to deal with this too, and I feel like it's just recently, now that I'm in my mid-30s, I've decided I don't care if someone thinks I'm being difficult. That doesn't affect me anymore.
No,
it's actually sometimes a good sign, but I understand, especially other women who don't want to be perceived that way, for asking for what they're entitled for. But it's hard to really learn that and believe that.
It's really hard. And that's why if it's too loud, turn it up. So I would say, actually, I'm not difficult. I'm a badass motherfucker.
Hell yeah. I mean,
but you have to be able to then bring it. So without the internet, without the fan base, without the concerts, without then being able to tour, without having a record deal, which I've always had, but I've moved to different labels when different people get fired or the person I was working with was mistreated. And so you think, all right, okay, well, but I'm locked into 3 more, you know, but then you find your way out. But if I didn't have the internet and the fan base, that was so important.
Why the internet?
Yeah.
Because that's how the fan base would communicate and become an army.
But they would have remained an army for you before, you know, without that.
It was harder to network, and to be honest, this is the double-edged sword. The music was getting out there and circulating, and with YouTube and all the concerts. So even if the label wanted to try and pull my work and leverage that way, by if nobody can, if your work isn't getting marketed, nobody can find you.
Right.
So it's sometimes it's killing the project, kill the album.
And
that's where I had a platform to be able to tell, and I would have told them if I would have told the fan base if they would have killed the album.
Right.
So it is very much sometimes about negotiating with the boys' club. There are fair men in the boys' club.
Yes.
And there's some unfair women in the boys' club.
Yeah, for sure.
And there are fair women that are not in the boys' club because they haven't been allowed in.
Are women starting to infiltrate that boys' club in the, at the top levels?
In the music industry?
Yeah,
they're very few.
Yeah.
They're very few. You have some attorneys. There's one that I know of, but it's not appropriate for me to mention names. But
not so much yet.
One of the ones that had infiltrated, she has passed away now. Her name was Polly Anthony. And that's the reason I went to Epic from Atlantic, was because of her amazing leadership. But the Boys Club came in and got rid of her.
Yeah. I mean, look, men and women can both be victims, and men and women can both be
bullies,
complicit, and be guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all affected.
Right.
I mean, we could get into like toxic masculinity and how that's just as damaging for men as it is for everybody.
But we have to come together.
Yeah.
Don't you think? We have to now, once the stories and the pain has been coalesced and we get to a place of being able to say, now we're needing to take our next step into the future, and we're going to paint the future. I'm going to sonically paint it because that's my wheelhouse, and you all are going to paint it in your way, and writers, directors, men need to come together with us on this and collaborate.
Right.
We need to collaborate together.
Yeah. Your album, your new album, to me, it sounds like an album of resilience. You know, it's not an album about defeat when I listen to it or wallowing. It is naming things and being like, let's go. You know, because I mean, that's part of moving on is acknowledging all of the terrible things. And then that should fuel you. And that's what these songs sound like to me.
Right.
Yeah.
And this was born out of not just the sort of shift that happened in November, but then in January, your mother suffered a stroke. And so there's this sort of personal element to it. I don't know if you've seen the movie Mother. Have you seen the Darren Aronofsky movie?
No spoilers, Dara.
Okay, no spoilers. I loved it. And I have a lot of issues with it. But there's ways that your record kind of reminded me of this melding of sort of, like I said before, these different archetypes, mythology and geology, and the personal, the artist as creator, and just beautifully artistically putting that together and sort of all at once. So you're kind of, you know, harassed by like all of these things, and it's it's very scary and it's very overwhelming, but it's a work of art. But what my main problem with it is, I feel like it's sort of an indictment on religion and a little bit of a negative view of humanity. I could debate
that. Mother. The film Mother.
But so what, you're talking about the film movie mother, or the album?
The film Mother. The film.
Like, I missed that.
So it's addressing all of these things that I feel like your record is addressing, but you have such a tone of hope and of action and something to do, as opposed to, you know, that movie ends with the song, Don't They Know It's the End of the World? And I feel like your album is the opposite of that. It's not saying, so let's put our, you know, let's throw our hands up.
Yeah. Well, please don't tell my mother it's the end of the world, because she's, Mary is fighting. Mary is fighting to stay on this planet. And I tried to bring Mary up to speed. I was just with her yesterday. I've been with her for a few days. And Mary had a stroke. What's so tragic for the family has been that she was our go-to person, and she was so articulate. Yes, she had physical ailments. There's no question. She's 87, and she struggled physically and was fragile. But her mind, Oh, my goodness. And so the fact that Mary cannot speak, she can sing hymns and songs that she knew before with you. The rhythm. Now, the tone is questionable because she can't control her vocalization.
Right.
So it's going to go up and down, meaning she can't hold a steady tone. Mm-hmm. But she's trying to say those words, and you know she is. So that side of her brain is able to express itself vocally. But she has a very hard time saying words. So therefore, to see this articulate woman who cannot speak made me realize when the stroke first happened, she was much worse than she is right now.
Oh.
And she was under attack. And we could see she was under attack by this thing. And then it seemed the correlation was, and America is under attack. And what America, what we believe we've signed up as Americans, that's what I'm suggesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when the muses said to me, listen, you have been in a place of reaction. You need to ground yourself. Because we are not delivering anything that is violent to you and anything that is a bloodletting. This is not Boys for Pele.
Hmm.
You did that when you were in your early 30s, and that was the time you needed to do that when you took on the patriarchy and those stories.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking on something different now, or we can't give it to you. We are giving you a sonic wildwood. That people can come into this wildwood wherever they are in the world, and if they need a magic mushroom, they can take it. Uh-huh. If they need clear water, crystal clear from the stream, they can take it. Whatever they need, they can take. So you need to step out of this energy you've been in and hold a space for possibility and then action.
Mm.
And that was really... The penny dropped when I realized Mary was under attack, and so is Lady Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when because I could physically see what under attack looked like with an articulate woman who was trapped and being held hostage, really, by this stroke.
Right. What a crazy confluence of events.
Right. And you had the think tank intel coming at you, so
that's
happening. Mm-hmm. And then all of those things. So was that really... a turning point of writing and of creation, and
the songs came it's hard to explain. It felt like an explosion when I saw the pictures that have been released of the neutron stars colliding. Now that's such a huge event, but it felt in my small way, compared to that. But I felt, oh my goodness, when Bang started to come, the song, and I'm trying to get those structures, and I'm running to the piano and trying to figure out what in the world is this thing that's coming, and then the periodic table. What is going on? And because I just heard Sagan say, but we're all made of stars. When you're hearing this, again, this chanting on the news about immigrants and the vitriol again, and the negativity and the racism. And then you hear Carl Sagan saying, wait a minute, this is, it makes no sense because we're all made of stars. And then it was, well, what would that be?
Mm.
And then the periodic table just showed us, and the muses said, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, oh my goodness, I don't understand this. So that was, it was an amazing several weeks.
Wow. I'm curious to know what your experience will be going on the road again and interacting with all different parts of America as you embark on this tour that's coming up for you.
I'm curious too.
Yeah.
Because we've just done Europe.
Uh-huh.
And Europe was much more responsive, because a lot of times they can be polite as audiences, but they were much more collaborative.
Uh-huh.
And I have no idea what's coming in the States, because I haven't toured since 2014. It was a different world then.
Very. Wow.
You'll have to come back a third time and tell us about it.
No, you'll have to come see me at the Beacon.
Oh, yes. You have to come. We can definitely do that.
Because at the concerts, we're trying to, again, we hold this space for energy to shift.
Yeah.
So whatever anybody's going through that day, anybody who's at that show is making a difference at that show.
Yeah. I feel like that happens when you come on this podcast.
Yes.
And I forget that we're even, this is being recorded at all. I like fall into talking to you about these things. I know that you have a full day ahead, so we won't keep you any longer.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
It means everything to us to have you on the show and for being so open and, I don't know, feels good. So
good.
Thank you.
Thank you.